In the past week, Phoenix Suns president Rick Welts, former Villanova basketball star Will Sheridan, and ESPN sports radio host Jared Max all announced that they are gay. OutSports editor Sid Ziegler told the New York Daily News, what 1947 was to black people in sports with Jackie Robinson, 2011 will be to gay people in sports. On the other side of the ledger, Major League Baseball suspended Atlanta Braves pitching coach Roger McDowell for 2 weeks after an anti-gay tirade at a ballpark, and the NBA fined stars Kobe Bryant and Joakim Noah for gay slurs. Both athletes later apologized and insisted they are not homophobic. On Saturday, New York Daily News sports writer Michael O'Keefe wrote a piece called "Sports Appear Finally Ready to Welcome Gay Athletes in the Locker Rooms." Well, if that happens, what will that change look like when it happens? Our phone number, 800-989-8255. Email us, talk@npr.org. And you can join the conversation on our website. That's at npr.org. Click on Talk of the Nation. Michael O'Keefe joins us from our bureau in New York, and it's nice to have you with us today.
Hi, thanks for having me, Neil.
We should be clear, we're talking about male athletes here. The line long ago broken among female athletes.
Yeah, several years ago, Cheryl Swoopes became the first female athlete in a professional league to come out. And, you know, the world didn't end then. The skies didn't part.
And it is yet to happen, though, that an active player, a male player in one of the big professional sports, the team sports, to come out. It hasn't happened.
That has not happened, no.
And some say the breakthrough is not going to happen until some major star, some Hall of Fame level athlete comes out and says, I'm gay, and then bears the taunts that will come when he is visiting opposite ballparks or arenas and the glare of publicity.
It's going to be a difficult thing for whoever the athlete is that ultimately comes out in the middle of his career. It's going to be a difficult thing, but I think the point of the story that I wrote that appeared this weekend is it may not be as difficult as we once thought. Homophobia was pretty rampant in locker rooms, but there's a new generation of athletes, and these guys don't grow up in vacuums. They've seen openly gay people on TV, in the arts, in film, in law, in politics. And I think it's just a matter of time before we see an openly gay male athlete in one of the big four professional leagues.
I agree. It's only a period of time. But why do you think it's been so slow to happen? It's, as you say, happened almost everywhere else.
Yeah. A couple of things. I think number one is, a lot of athletes, you made a good point earlier that it's probably going to be a big star, someone who feels very secure in their position. Guys who are on the bubble or fighting for a job, the last thing they want to do is bring attention to themselves and bring more stress upon themselves by announcing to the world that they're gay. So they want to keep a low profile and keep that job. They're not going to want to invite controversy. I think one way this may come out is someone may be outed. If you think about, there's four major professional men's leagues in this country. They each have about 30 teams. There's thousands of athletes we're talking about. There's got to be some gay players in all four of those leagues. One of these guys may just be outed, and he may, rather than argue it or fight it, he may say, you're right, and open his life up for people to examine. Another possibility is that a young man may become openly gay in high school or college and then be drafted by a professional team.
That's another mechanism for this to happen. It's interesting also that some cracks have begun to appear. Sean Avery, player for the New York Rangers hockey team, a player noted for his toughness, didn't come out saying he was gay, but came out in favor of gay marriage, which is, that's a big step for an athlete.
Yes, it is. And especially for a guy like him, who's not known for being a touchy-feely or politically correct guy. Charles Barkley Charles Barkley, who's another guy who's hardly politically correct, also came out and said, don't tell me what to think. I don't care about if a guy's gay or straight. I want to know if he can play the game. Steve Nash, also the Phoenix Suns, came out in support of gay marriage this week.
And it's interesting. Do you think that the athlete will be more concerned with the reactions of his teammates, the other men in the locker room, or more concerned with the reactions of the fans and the ownership?
I have a feeling that you know, there probably are some gay athletes and professional in the, you know, the major leagues right now. And some of their teammates probably already know that they're gay. You know, just as Will Sheridan told me last week that his teammates knew he was gay and it was no big deal. I suspect that there are a number of athletes who are already kind of out to their teammates but keep their private lives private to the rest of us. I think the really big thing is going to be fans because, as you pointed out earlier, it can get pretty ugly. Look, it gets ugly for straight players.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so it can get pretty ugly in some stadiums and some arenas. I think that's the real big hurdle.
And it was interesting. Frank DeFord, the sports commentator on Morning Edition, longer writer for Sports Illustrated, did a piece this week in which he wondered what would happen when somebody goes into a visiting player and gets heckled as using the F word, and what the other fans will do. Is that going to be okay? Is it okay as some people yelled at Jackie Robinson?
I think other fans are going to take umbrage with that. You know, of course, it'll depend on what part of the country you're on. I think, in New York or Los Angeles, Chicago, people may be more, will be more confrontational with a fan who yells the F word in a stadium. Maybe in parts of the country where anti-gay bias is a little more condoned, maybe people will be able to get away with that. But I think there's been a real shift. You know, sports fans don't really care so much about this issue anymore. They really just care about whether a guy can play or not.
It's also going to be interesting to see what happens when this happens. And you're right, it is a when and not an if. But when this happens, the player involved is going to be his teammates are going to be barraged with questions, whether they're fair or not, about what it's like to be in the locker room and in the shower room with somebody who's gay. They're not going to want to expose their teammates to that.
Absolutely. I mean, that's one of the big things. That's why guys on the bubble, if there's a gay athlete who's on the bubble right now, who's not secure in his job, who is a sixth starter on a Major League Baseball rotation, for example, he's not going to want to come out because he doesn't want to subject his team to that kind of scrutiny. You know, it's what they call the distraction, the quote-unquote distraction in the locker room. It happens when guys get accused of steroid use. It happens when guys get DWIs or get accused of being in a fight in a bar or something like that. This is going to be the quote-unquote distraction that is going to last for weeks and weeks and weeks. It won't go away. It's going to generate international attention.
And
you'll be a whole new set of reporters asking you questions, a whole new set of fans yelling at you, either in support or against you. It is going to be major.
We're talking with Michael O'Keefe of the New York Daily News about what it's going to look like when a major male professional athlete comes out of the closet. 800-989-8255. Email talk@npr.org. Jack is on the line calling us from Charlotte.
Yeah, I have two sons. One's heterosexual, one's gay. I was a college athlete. My older son's a college athlete. My younger son was an athlete. And I found that it's mostly misunderstanding that leads to this fear or homophobia. Once you begin to really talk one-on-one about the situation and people begin to understand your sensitivity, they become open and honest and willing to see both sides. I think it'll take a while in sports, but I think once sports becomes the role model it should, things will settle down very quickly, and it will help to provide more education that is really necessary in our society today.
And, Jack, did your sons play in college sports?
Yes. My older son played football and baseball, and I played college football. And when I grew up, of course, it was a little bit different. But today, if you were going to the majority of the colleges today, they are so much more open to diversity, in all types of diversity, whether they be sexual, religious, all types. And sports needs to be the role model that they should be on this issue.
Thanks very much for the call, Jack. And Michael O'Keefe, you raised an interesting point in your piece that Roger McDowell, who was the pitching coach of the Atlanta Braves, who got into a screaming match with some fans in San Francisco and was suspended for 2 weeks by Major League Baseball for what he did. Well, he may be more representative of his generation than his sport.
Yes, and not to say that there aren't younger guys who are not homophobic or not as enlightened as others. But I think there's a real generational shift here. You know, as we were saying before, the athletes who are in their early 20s, mid-20s now come from a really different world than certainly I grew up in. I'm in my 50s. And, these guys have seen positive, gay role models, in all walks of life. And I think they're saying, what's the big deal in sports? And one of the great lines, I think, in one of the great quotes I have in my story was a sports psychologist and former European golf tour player named Sue Shapcott, who said, it's really hard to demonize gay people when there are so many great gay people coming out of the closet. I think that goes back to Jack's point that, kids today, they're just more sophisticated about this than maybe athletes or the rest of us were 20, 30 years ago.
To your knowledge, have male gay athletes come out in major collegiate sports, in basketball or football or baseball?
You're catching me flat-footed here. I'm not aware of any. I know that there have been a number in some of the other sports, college sports. Brandon Stoneham, who's a Division I soccer player at Adelphi University here in New York, came out recently. Will Sheridan just came out. His career is over in terms of college basketball. But, yes, I believe, I don't know about the major sports. I know certainly on some of the other sports there are.
All right. We're talking again with Michael O'Keefe of the New York Daily News. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And let's go next to Hiawatha. Hiawatha with us from Oklahoma City.
Yes.
Go ahead, please.
I was just saying, I think our biggest problem is that we're just afraid of the unknown. First of all, I'm African-American. When we first started playing sports, people thought we were different just because of the color of our skin, and they were afraid of us. They banned us from things. They discriminated, and they still do it today. That's human nature. I'm retired military. Don't ask, don't tell. We don't ask a person if they're heterosexual. Why would we ask them if they're homosexual? They have a sexual preference difference, but everything else is the same if we let it be. I think our biggest issue is just our fear of the unknown, and that's a human factor that we have to get over. And we need to ask more people, why are you afraid of it? And that's my comment. I love your show.
Well, thanks very much for the phone call.
And I mentioned I'm from Oklahoma City, and I mentioned that for Charles Barkley. I mentioned you're talking about politically correct. I think he needs to know that there are a few of us still here.
Okay. This is in reference to some of Mr. Barkley's other pointed statements recently about the basketball tournament that's currently underway. But Michael O'Keefe, he's got a point. When the color line in Major League sports was broken by Jackie Robinson back in 1947, a lot of people said the question they had then was about the locker room and the shower room.
That's exactly right. Barkley said something really interesting. He said, as a black person, I know about discrimination, and so I'm sensitive to these issues. And, I think a guy like him saying these things in the same way with Sean Avery and with Steve Nash, they bring a lot of credit. One of the big changes we've seen in this whole issue is even just a few years ago, Tim Hardaway, when John Amici, the NBA player, after he retired, he came out, and Tim Hardaway said a whole bunch of ugly things about gay people. Straight athletes didn't really rise up and say, that's not cool. What we're seeing now is straight athletes saying, bullying. Bullying is not cool. There's an assistant wrestling coach at Columbia University here in New York, Hudson Taylor, who's starting to promote tolerance of all sexual orientations and fighting against homophobia and bullying. Ben Cohen, a rugby player from England, has joined with him. Again, Avery and Barkley and Nash, we've talked about. That's a real change. That's a real sea change that we've seen in just the last couple of years. Straight guys saying, these are my brothers, these are my teammates. You have to treat them with respect.
Yet at the same time, clearly, in the incidents with Joakim Noah and Kobe Bryant recently unleashing the F word in anger, clearly they did that because in the sports context, that has real power.
You know, being gay in sports for a long time meant being weak. And when I think guys like Kobe and Noah use that word, they weren't necessarily trying to be homophobic. And I'm not trying to make excuses for them or condone what they did, quite the opposite. But I think what they're just reacting in a way that they had been brought up, you know, that this was a culture in sports that, you know, if you wanted to denigrate someone, you could use the F word. That was a way to do that. It's unfortunate that they did that, but I put them in a separate category than Roger McDowell. You know, he was real ugly. He was real nasty. These guys spoke at the spur of the moment, and they used a word that's been used in locker rooms and in basketball courts and hockey rinks and baseball fields for a long, long time, most likely unknowingly or most likely reflexively.
And we should also note that the institutions, Major League Baseball and the NBA, heavy fines and suspensions were issued for these offenses. This is not acceptable.
Yeah, it cost Noah $50,000. It cost Bryant $100,000. That's not cheap. And, you know, we got to talk about Rick Welts here, his coming out, because that is huge. That is really important. This is a guy, you know, a lot of athletes, you know, going back to Dave Coppé in the 1970s, an NFL player who said he was gay and wrote an autobiography about his life. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of guys have come out of the closet, you know, since Dave Coppé. But, you know, to have a guy like Welts, who he allocates team resources, he decides who's going to be on his team. He's a good friend of David Stearns. He's got Stearns' ear. He's a real power broker in the NBA, excuse me. And he is going to, you know, that's huge. His influence and his thoughts on this whole issue are really going to trickle down to coaches and players.
Michael O'Keefe, thanks very much for your time.
Thank you.
Michael O'Keefe, sports writer for the New York Daily News. We've posted a link to his article at npr.org. He joined us from our bureau in New York. Tomorrow, you can now hear some of the biggest names in acting read books to you. We'll talk about the art of the audiobook. Join us for that. This is Talk of the Nation from NPR News. I'm Neil Conan in Washington.